Live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Like the dude just said, we are indeed solid, conservative, and just plain right here Monday through Friday, 2 to 5 p.m. And by the way, I said it earlier, but if you find yourself getting outside the overly broad range of our AM FM capabilities at WVNN, it do not matter. Just go to our website, rightsideradio.org, click on Listen Live. And like I always say, no matter where you is, there we is. And that's why we have folks all over the place. Well, I got a folk right now with me in the studio, and I'm excited to have him here. Longtime friend, Chris May, who probably has stories about me that I don't want out. But anyway, Chris is with me in the studio. He and his family, his wife Karen, they have had a relationship, I guess you'd say, with the nation of Ukraine for many years. Something that I've watched, and we'll get into that a little bit. Chris, how you doing, bud?
Hey, I'm great, Phil. First of all, I just want to tell you thank you for allowing me to come and hang out with you here for Right Side Radio. I mean, hang out with my bud. I love it.
Chris, they gave me a microphone. What is happening right now? Why would they do
Unbelievable.
That?
Unbelievable.
Did they know what they were doing? They gave me a microphone. But no, hey, listen, so your family, and I know because I've watched it develop over time, but your family developed your whole family, even your kids, developed a heart for the people of Ukraine and really for that part of the world, I guess you'd say. But Ukraine was where it began to focal point of it, right down to the point that you even adopted your daughter, Karina, from Ukraine.
Yeah.
Talk to me about how that came about, first of all. What drew you to those people? And then I want to unpack what's happening over there right now.
Really? Phil, it's a really amazing story. And I think you have a couple hours left, so I can't give you all the details.
Yeah.
But
Finite time.
I'll first say it was simply, I believe, ordained of God. And I ended up having an opportunity to go to Ukraine with a very dear friend who has actually since passed away, but he invited me over there in 2004. To be honest, I did not know much about Ukraine. I wasn't even sure where it was located.
Yeah.
Back in 1979, I actually spent a little bit of time in Russia. And so I thought I was familiar a little bit with Eastern Europe, but we went to Ukraine and I was shocked. And rightfully so, it's totally different culture, different language. They use a completely different alphabet, so you can't even try to sound out words because it's a Cyrillic alphabet. So it was a shock at the beginning. And obviously when somebody goes into a different culture, that's what you see and you experience the food and the surroundings and the way of life. And it was totally different than what I was used to. But then very quickly, I realized the people were people and their hearts are so big and so vast and a culturally rich country. And there began 2004, the journey.
And there's a depth of history over there that is more than like five times the length of time our country has even been in existence.
Absolutely right.
And a culture that has traveled throughout those decades. And it's gone through, I gave some of it before you came on, Chris, but it's gone through all of its upheavals. It's gone through the Bolshevik Revolution. It's gone through the occupation, the incorporation into the Soviet Union, being set free again in 1991 when the Soviet Union fell.
Right.
And then 2014, watching the Crimean Peninsula be re-annexed by Russia.
That's correct.
But let me ask you this, though. So you started an organization called Mercy's Hope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's correct.
And Mercy's Hope was also something that I got to watch with you and be to some degree a little part of. But you also, though, by the way, adopted your daughter from Ukraine.
Right,
so
right.
Tell us real quickly about those two things.
Okay. Well, first of all, the order is the opposite. First, we adopted our daughter, and then God created helped to form Mercy's Hope. But 2004, when I spent some time in Ukraine, both my wife and I have been associated with Big Oak Ranch, so we thought we knew orphan kids or kids that were, going through difficult times in family relationships. And so when I went to the orphanage, a orphanage in Ukraine, I actually went for the sole purpose of taking photos for a ministry over there I was with. And so I thought I was prepared. But to be honest, when the kids came out and they actually danced for a group of folks that were with me, as we watched them, God captured my heart. Mm. And it was really the father heart of God. And I pretty much, just to make a long story short, lost it. And then in the midst of that, I had an encounter with God. And I really felt at that time, he was saying, I'm calling you to be father. And at that time, everything changed. While in the country, it went from seeing everything monochrome to seeing everything in color.
Wow.
And nothing changed other than my heart and my perspective.
Yeah.
And coming home, we began the journey at that point of really seeing if God wanted us to adopt.
I remember you having pictures on the refrigerator at the house and I think at some point there was an expectation you would adopt
a sibling set of three.
Some siblings, but and then that didn't resolve. But,
right.
And you guys went through so much of the bureaucracy in multiple languages, by the way, both on this side of the Atlantic and theirs, and eventually adopted Karina. And I'll just tell the audience, because I know we have to move on to the rest of the topic, but one of the joys of my time in the state Senate was passing a law and having it named after your daughter.
Yes.
Because away with some of the bureaucracy that mm-hmm. Alabama had in place.
Correct.
To prevent foreign adoptions or make them harder anyway.
Right, right.
But also to be with you guys through the adoption process as an attorney. I mean, so every aspect of my life somehow has been involved with this whole mission you had.
Yeah.
Well, brother, you still got friends and contacts, and you still got mission work over there right now.
We do. As a matter of fact, it was just less than a week ago, I was on a Zoom call with several dear, dear friends. In fact, we actually, our ministry still has a home there, and we have four girls living in the home, and I was actually spent some time talking with them.
We've got about 3 minutes for the first break here, but tell me this. You've got contact with them right now at a time, and I don't think most Americans can identify with what it must feel like to have 100,000 foreign troops sitting on your border, while you also, by the way, still have an ongoing civil war, and you saw part of your country annexed just 7 years ago.
Yeah.
What's the sentiment over there?
Well, actually, that country I really don't want to say they're used to that conflict, but it's been going on, like you said, for 7 years.
Yeah.
And many of the young men have lost their lives, or at least lost their future based on the conflict and what they've gone through. Ukraine is not a rich country. It's agriculturally rich, but as far as technology, it's not probably as advanced as the U.S., but at the same time, they're a very proud country, and this country, like you said, Phil, didn't start at the time of the USSR, the Soviet Union. It was well before that, and so they are a sovereign, separate country, and their hearts are wanting to keep it that way, and they've been very blessed, I believe, of God here in the recent years since 91 to really gain in some economic and agricultural advantages. So they are growing, but this conflict has really taken a toll on Ukraine.
Well, and I would expect it has. And I don't ever want to give credence to fear.
Mm-hmm.
But fear is also a real thing you have to pray against and deal with on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any heightened state of fear, I guess, right now within the general populace, or do they just take it all as a day as it comes?
I think there is. What's gone on is obviously the media is controlled by the government, but the government is still leaning toward democracy. So it's not like they're controlled like communist. But at the same time, many of the population maybe does not hear 100% of the truth. But at the same time, their sons and daughters have been taken and affected by that war.
Yeah.
So there is a state of very heightened concern.
What? Well, I'll tell you what. Let's do this. Hey, Copper, go ahead and move us to the break. But when we come back from this, Chris, I'd love to hear how has this impacted your ability to reach through to the people? What do you foresee? And does the average person over there believe that Russia is going to cross the border? Or they believe this is going to wind up being another detente that's going to fade away? And so I'd like to hear any number of those things and whatever else is on your heart, brother.
Absolutely, man.
All right, folks, we're with Chris May, somebody who knows the country of Ukraine better than anybody I know in the world, who's had a heart and a mission there, and there's a human side to this issue. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. We will be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We are indeed solid conservative and just plain right. Going back right now with my friend Chris May, who has spent Chris, I have no idea how many days, months you've spent in Ukraine. And then, of course, it's impacted your family's life to the extent that you adopted your daughter there, Karina.
I've probably been there, Phil, about 40 times, over 40 times. So 40 separate trips. Yeah, that's a lot, actually. I mean,
at some point, you just go ahead and take up alternate residence, right? So, Chris, right before we went to the break, we were starting to get a feel for the people. The people aspect of all of this, humanity side,
right.
And granted, you've got a heart there because God put this place, these people, on your heart as a mission. Mm-hmm. But then trying to step back from that, knowing it as intimately as you do, what do you perceive is where are we right now? Is this do the people feel like there's going to be Russians coming across the border any day, or is it one of those things where they're looking at it going, nah, it's not going to happen?
Actually, over the last 7-8 years since 2014, when Crimea was annexed, they've been in this state. Yeah. So I think some are okay. It's the same old, but. The folks I'm talking to and the friends and the dear ones that we have a relationship with and we endeavor to stay in contact with have told me that they are concerned. They are great people. They are a people of great faith. And so they're holding on to the fact that God's going to be their savior and he is going to protect them. But as far as the facts go, it still looks pretty bleak.
What's the, in your experience, I don't know if you ever dealt with the Ukrainian military at all, but what's the morale like on the street or the military, if you know? I mean, is there a morale killer going on, or are they gang up for whatever happens?
Our experience in the last, I would say, several years, it's been now, I think about 4 years since I've been in Ukraine, but when the military was activated with the current conflict with the border, the eastern border, they were a lot. There was many young men that were called up, and they have a draft. As a matter of fact, a couple of the dear girls that I was talking with last week had said now they have just recently called up all women. There's no age limit. It's from, I believe they said 15 to 65.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they can.
Yeah. They can take anybody.
It's basically an all call at this point.
It is. It's an all call. So you know that includes all men.
Yeah.
Now it's been all women are being called.
Okay. Well, that's a significant thing when you hear about the mobilization of the populace.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that adds kind of a tense perspective to me.
Absolutely does. Yeah.
That's all hands on deck at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, so wow. So what's going on with the economy? I mean, I know the average citizen has a standard of living that might be less than what we're used to in the United States.
Yep.
In some places,
right.
and of course, there's always going to be the wealthy among every society, but the average poor over there is much poorer than the average poor over here.
That's correct.
What is this doing to them right now?
It's well, there is a segment of the population that lives in the villages, we call them, and they're just trying to live day to day. So I think the news of this probably hasn't affected them as much, to be honest, but that's not a majority. Majority are in the larger populated areas. There's a city near where we have our base called Dnipropetrovsk, and that's a city of, I think, about 3 million people. Then, of course, you have Kyiv, which is the capital, and then there's several other major cities around where we are. And so that's where a majority of the population reside, are on those large cities. But again, other than the large population areas, it's villages. So as far as keeping up with the news, they're going to talk among themselves in that village, but they're probably a little behind as far as what current news is.
Okay. What's this doing to the ability for international travel? Are they able to come and go?
Actually, that shut down with COVID. Ukraine actually almost really pretty much shut the country down. So as far as going into the country, I think at this point, before this major rise in the conflict with Russia, if you went into Ukraine, you had to prove either you were vaccinated or you had to wait 3 days before you could go anywhere.
Okay, so limitations already existed.
Yeah,
and I really can't help but believe that some of the COVID limitations have probably been to Putin's benefit, because he knows that it's slowed some things down.
Yeah,
that also slowed down the message getting out about what he's doing. Well, brother, listen, we're gonna move to a break. You want to hang around for a minute after the break?
Sure, I'd be happy to.
When we get done with the break, what I'd like to do is just have you put a capstone on it.
Mm-hmm.
What if you had to call it today, yeah, you know, where would you see it going over the course of the next, you know, month? And then if there's any way that you think that the people of this listening audience, we call them right side ruffians, by the way, if the people of this listening audience want to do something, if there's something they can add to the benefit of the people in Ukraine, what would that be? So let's go to the break here in just a minute, and then come back and talk those pieces through.
Sounds great.
All right. Hey, folks, we're on with my friend Chris May. And if you've got part of the conversation, I hope you caught all of it, because it's value added. I hope that what it did was it gives you some color commentary that says, oh, yeah, there's a human factor to this. You know, it really does something when you, like my time in Afghanistan, I was not on a base. I lived among the Afghan people. I felt like I left that year with a far deeper perspective. Well, we need that deeper perspective once in a while, especially when you watch the news and you can get up in arms about things you see, and then you wonder, oh, wait a minute, how's the average Joe and Jane doing in the middle of it? Got to keep that in mind, too. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Time now, 3:36 PM on the 24th of January, Monday. Some of y'all are getting close to go home time. Hang in there, it's coming. But listen, I'm right here in the studio with my friend Chris May. We've been talking about Ukraine, because nobody I know in the entire world has more experience as an American in Ukraine than Chris May. Putting the human factor into the situation we're seeing in the news. So, Chris, before I get back to all the stuff about troop movements and policy and politics and all that, give me this, though. You've got a heart for these people. You've been there dozens of times.
Yeah.
And your daughter, you know, was born there but adopted by you, so she's reborn here.
Mm-hmm.
All that to say, what's your prediction, knowing the lay of the land like you do? I mean, you could drive around the country like you were from there.
Mm-hmm.
What's your prediction? In the next month, do you think we're going to see a Russian invasion? What's the perspective you have?
When I think about that, Phil, I'm actually going to just take a step back a second, because just like all of us, we have family and friends that are so dear to us here in America. And as I think about Ukraine, it's no different. As a matter of fact, some of the dearest, really most enduring people we know are in Ukraine. They're so relationally connected. They engage with you. And when we were adopting our daughter, it opened our eyes to not only a new and a vibrant culture, but a people that really gave of themselves. And even though economically they would struggle, but at the same time, it just bridged over that. It really set home, it hit home to us what relationship is about. And it's not based on monetary value. It's based on relational equity and what you give to people. So when I talk about Ukraine, that's what I see. I see the faces of the dear people there. And even my own daughter, that's her legacy, is from a really wonderful country with wonderful people.
So that said,
yeah.
And every bit of it was true. That said, do you think we're looking at a Russian incursion across the border?
I think as it looks now, and again, I'm seeing the same thing you and others here in the U.S. are seeing, but it looks like something's going to happen. And I don't want to, so I see with my eyes, and with just the physical part of me, it looks like Putin is wants Ukraine because it is so strategic to his
warm water ports in the Black
absolutely.
Sea, all of it.
Yeah, in fact, we were down in Sevastopol. We went down there before Crimea fell, and it's some of the most beautiful part of Ukraine. And in fact, we toured a old nuclear submarine rearming.
I remember you telling me that.
Yeah, tunnel. Oh, my goodness. And it went through a mountain. It was miles deep. And Ukraine just opened it up for maybe a dollar and a half tour price. So we would take a tour through that. And on the other side was still the Russian base. They still had a base there, a small base, a naval base. So we couldn't go to that extent. But all that to say, yes, I think something's coming. More than what's been going on, but the other side of me is praying that God stops it, because it absolutely is going to devastate a wonderful wonderful country and people.
Well, I'm going to agree with you on that, that God can stop anything. He can start anything. He can stop anything. He's mm-hmm. the author and the finisher.
Yeah.
So listen, brother, let's wrap up our time together.
Is there
any means by which you think that if people back here, the right side ruffians in this audience, who by the mm-hmm. way have a heart of gold,
yeah.
if they want to actively do something, mm-hmm. they can all be praying, obviously. They
yep.
can watch and support
right.
and
right.
do those things.
Right.
But is there something, some logistical aspect, some ministry, some mission that you think they should be aware of that might help them to help those folks in Ukraine?
There are actually a handful of ministries that are based in the U.S. that still provide aid along with ours. Right now, we're not as active as we were, but there are a handful of ministries. I would do a search as far as just going on the internet, searching aid to Ukraine or U.S. ministries or U.S. organizations that help Ukraine, support Ukraine. And then also, too, if they have any communication whatsoever with our legislatures, I would encourage our support of Ukraine.
Sure. Good stuff. And I didn't even look before you came in. Mercieshope.org.
Yes, mercieshope.org.
Mercieshope.org. Mm-hmm. And your amazing photography of the people over there is still on that website, if I recall. Is that right?
Well, actually, I'll tell you this. Well, the website had been down for a little while, but the original website is going back up because I knew I'd be coming on the radio. So I felt like, okay, I need to have at least something up there so people could see if they were interested.
All right, so the website, mercieshope.org, will be back up for them to see.
It will be back in a couple days, yes.
And y'all, I would encourage you to see it. Chris is gifted in graphic design, photography, and all of it. In fact, I will go ahead and let the cat out of the bag that the Right Side Radio logo was actually designed by Chris May.
Oh, my goodness.
That's right.
You had to give that plug.
I did. All right, brother. I love you. Thank you for being on.
Phil, and, I love you, and I love what you're doing here. It's just fantastic. You really are genuinely a incredible patriot and a wonderful friend, and I appreciate you inviting me today.
And I'll write the check to you as soon as we get done. All right. Well, listen, folks. So yeah, there's the thing. As Chris and I wind up our time, just understand the topic's not over. There's so much more to unpack. You know how I do my resourcing every day. I've got a stack of paper right here with multiple stories we have not even delved into yet. So, Copper, I tell you what, let's do this. Let's go ahead and take the break early so I can come back and have to the top of the hour with a good bit of time to do that. That way we can finish unpacking Ukraine, because I've got number one of the triple dipper. I haven't even gotten to number two and three. I'm not sure we're going to get to two and three. Because top of the hour, I do have congressional candidate Dale Strong calling in. He participated in the March for Life up in D.C. That was very cool. But he's also got his campaign for Congress, which is going well. So we'll talk to candidate Dale Strong here in a few minutes. He's on the Madison County Commission. And if I get to it, we're going to have number two on the triple dipper, the insurrection obfuscation. And number three, we'll talk about the March of the Marches, which is some things that are happening in D.C. But right now, we'll come back. Number one, triple dipper, Ukraine Explained, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back.